The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, super. Thank you, ladies. Let's go back in our Bibles and look at Psalm 39, if you will, and look at verse 1, where David is speaking, and I'll reread it for reiteration's sake. He says, I will take heed to my words. I will sin not with my mouth. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. One of the hardest things, I believe, for any individual Christian, yea, human, is to be able to bridle the tongue. I want to speak tonight on the right and wrong use of the tongue. The right and wrong use of the tongue. Now, I'm going to read you a lot of verses tonight, and then I'm going to get right into the message. But the verses I'm going to read you tonight are just mere introductory verses. But I want you to listen to the way the Bible describes the tongue, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use several different verses to be able to give you, you know, the best definition you could ever find is a Bible definition. That's the best definition you could ever find, because that definition is from the Lord. And so the best definition you could ever find and the most truthful definition you could ever find is always from the pages of God's Word. And so with that being said, let me just read you some verses here that describes a tongue that is different in its uses, okay? Over in Psalm 5 and in verse 9, the Bible says, there is no faithfulness in their mouth. It says their inward part is very wickedness. It says their throat is as an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Okay, so here is a people that is described characteristically as not being faithful. Here's a people that's very wicked in the description. Their throat is an open sepulcher. In other words, there is nothing that would stop it from a flow. And the Bible says that they flattereth with their tongue. So there's those that have the flattering tongue. Now, what is that? Well, it's somebody that comes up and they're always speaking flattery words to you. They're always, if you would please, trying to be somebody that flatters you with the things that they say about you. All right, then there's the proud tongue. Psalm 12 and in verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord shall cut off the flattering lips. We read that a moment ago. And it says, the tongue that speaketh proud things. So the Bible says that the Lord is going to cut two different types of tongues off, the flattering tongue and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Psalm 73 and verse 9, the Bible says, they set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. All right, now this is a proud tongue. That tongue, if you would please, that lifts itself as high as heaven and walks throughout the earth. There's the lying tongue. Psalm 109, verse 3, the Bible says, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful, it says, is open against me. And they have spoken against me, it says, with a lying tongue. And so there's the lying tongue, the person that knows what is truth, but decides not to speak it, but rather they speak an untruth, they speak a lie. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And so God categorizes that which is a lying tongue along with a proud look and also with hands that shed innocent blood. There's the deceitful tongue. The Bible says in Psalm 120 and verse 3, the Bible says, deliver my soul, O Lord. It says from the lying tongue, it says, or lying lips, and from the deceitful tongue. So there is a tongue that is deceitful. It shares things in a deceitful matter. May blow it up to be more than what it is, being deceitful. Somebody goes fishing, they caught a minnow, time they returned to the house was an oversized whale. Okay, that is a deceitful tongue. There's the soothing tongue. What is that? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The soothing tongue, they're able to soothe things out. I mean, it is like a tree of life. It's a wholesome tongue. They're able, if you would please, to give the medicine that makes the stomach ache, the headache go away. It's a soothing tongue. There's the healing tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, but the tongue of the wise is health. And so there's a healing tongue. What is that? That's a tongue of a wise person. A person comes up and all they do is share things. If you would, that would be healthy. There's the destructional tongue, the destructive tongue. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4, the Bible says a wicked doer, it says, giveth heed to false lips. And it says a liar giveth ear unto a naughty tongue. And so there's that which is a destructive tongue. They're always speaking that which is negative, always talking about, there's your gossiper there, there's your critic there, there's the person that's always pulling something down, down, down in order to lift themselves up, up, up. What is that? That's that destructive tongue. There's that which is the mischievous tongue. They're very mischievous in what they do, and also combined with the wicked tongue. Psalm 10 and verse 7, the Bible says that his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. It says, and under his lips is mischief and vanity. So here's a person that has a mischievous tongue. They're always using their tongue to get into mischief. They're always using their tongue. Vanity is named among that. They're living a life of vanity. They're always, if you would please, trying to be something that they're really not. They're if you will, they're putting on the dog, if you will, or putting on the Ritz, if you will, and they're just always pretending to be a different even personality. Now, can I tell you, it's good to be who God made you. It really is. It's good to be who God made you. I've often said this, if you try to be somebody else, then who's going to be you while you're gone? It's good to be who God made you. You say, well, you know, I don't understand, you know, the way God made me and the way I... Well, thank God. The Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, so many times a person says, well, I wish I was like so-and-so. You can wish that much. So much that you can wish your life away and never fulfill God's will for yourself. You know, it's not a matter of holding a position in life that makes you acceptable, listen to me, to God. Now, you can think that a position will make you acceptable to man, and it may very well, but a position that is held does not make you necessarily acceptable to God. And can I tell you tonight, the one you're supposed to be more acceptable to than anybody else is not man, but God. The Bible talks about, here's a mischievous person. The Bible talks about a soft tongue. Proverbs chapter 25 and in verse 15, the Bible says, by long forbearing, it says the prince persuadeth. It says the soft tongue breaketh the bone. The Bible talks about a backbiting tongue. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 23, the Bible says, the north wind driveth away rain, and so doth the angry countenance of a backbiting tongue. Somebody that's always backbiting, that will also show up in their countenance. You'll be able to tell if somebody disagrees with you. Many times more than not, before they utter a word, they utter words with their facial expressions. They utter words with the way that they use their eyes. They will utter words with the way that they display their face in a type of showing off, if you will, that which is the inner core of the heart. So that is a backbiting tongue. The Bible talks about how you and I have to give an account. Here's what our Lord said over in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. The Bible says, I say unto you that an idle word, listen to it now, that every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so the Bible teaches us about that which is the words we speak will justify us, or the words we speak will very well condemn us. The Bible talks over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 and verse 35, where the Bible says, and Jesus is speaking, O generation of vipers, it says, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? And it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 35, a good man, it says, out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of the heart bringeth forth evil things. And so what is in the heart truly does come out. Person says, well, I just said that, but I didn't mean it. The only problem with that is that does not go along with Scripture. Because if you said it, you meant it. Well, I said it, but I was just kidding. Then why in the world were you kidding in that direction? Because as you think it, you're going to eventually say it. An angry person that's angry on the inside will eventually let that become something that comes out of them. A person that has joy, I said this often, if somebody squeezes you, whatever comes out reveals who you are. If somebody squeezes you and they put you under pressure, if pleasantness comes out, that means you have pleasantness on the inside. If somebody squeezes you and you're under pressure and anger comes out, that means you're angry, probably, on the inside. If somebody squeezes you and sweetness comes out, that probably means that you're sweet on the inside. So when you're under pressure and you get squeezed, what happens when you get squeezed, whatever comes out reveals who you really are. And so we understand that the Bible talks about that a good man is going to say good things and an evil man is going to say evil things. Can I tell you? A negative man will say negative things and a positive man will say positive things and a good Christian will say godly things and an ungodly Christian will say ungodly things. And isn't it true? Because what is ever in the heart does come out. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so death and life. You know the tongue has destroyed many relationships. The tongue has destroyed many friendships. The tongue has destroyed, are you listening to me, many churches. There have been many churches that have been splintered by somebody's tongue. Many churches that have gone through splits by somebody's tongue. Many divorces that have been created by somebody's tongue. Many children that's been hurt inside of the home by a tongue of a parent. Can I tell you tonight that the tongue is very important? The epistle of James, and I want you to turn there, to turn to James, if you will, chapter 3. And I want us to do just a little bit of studying tonight, how James is able to talk about the tongue. The epistle of James, here's what we understand here. We understand that the tongue is suggested to that which is, or the tongue gives a display to that which is in the mind. And so the tongue is that which shows what is in the mind. James very pointedly points this out about the tongue, that the tongue is the index, stay with me now, is the index of that Christian's spiritual health. The tongue is the index of that Christian's spiritual health. James gives us three different pairs of illustrations, and I'm going to give you these. I'm going to give you some points that help us to understand the tongue according to James tonight. And statement number one, the tongue has the power to direct. The tongue has the power to direct. Now watch this. James chapter 3, look at verse 3. The Bible says, behold, it says, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, that we may turn about their whole body. James chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, behold, also it says, the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very small hymn, whithersoever the governor listeth. And so here's the very small, if you would please, hymn of the ship, and it turns the entire ship. Here's the very small, that which is the tongue of a man, or the tongue, if you would please, of that which is the horse. And by putting a bit in that which is the horse's mouth, you can turn the whole horse. By that which is the man's tongue, he can guide somebody else's path. The helm, if you would please, of the ship in verse 4 is the rudder. It directs the ship through the waters. The tongue, if you will please, as described in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, is the one that makes sure, the words make sure of the path that we're supposed to take. So here's what I'm saying tonight. I'm saying that tongue has the power to direct. You can direct your children tonight by your tongue. You can direct, if you would please, a business transaction tonight by your tongue. You can direct, if you would please, somebody to be encouraged in Jesus Christ or somebody to be discouraged in Jesus Christ by the mere mentioning of the words that you speak with your tongue. You can be able to encourage your children to do their best for the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can take and discourage your children to do their best for the Lord Jesus Christ, all in accordance to what is coming out of these lips, using that tongue that you've got inside of your mouth. I'm saying tonight that you understand that there is the power of the tongue. That tongue has the power to direct. Somebody comes up to you and they have poochy lip disease. You know what you could do? You could say, hey, look, I tell you what, it's going to get better. Or you could say, it is really bad. Matter of fact, it's the worst it's ever been. Why don't you go out and hang yourself? Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson was pastoring in Atlanta, Georgia. And he had an edgily slow person, a person with special needs in his church. And he said, he preached a fiery message on liquor. And he said, there's alcohol running all up and down the streets of Atlanta. He said, somebody needs to put a stop to it. Somebody needs to stand up. Go out there. Hey, you ought to burn those places down. Edgely slow individual was sitting in the back of the church. Thought, whoa. He snuck out that night and burned his first saloon down. Every night, he snuck out. And after burning five saloons down, they caught him. They took him to the police station. They began to ask him questions. Why? Why would you do such a thing? He said, because my preacher told me to. Al Lacey came to our church and he preached a message, and he used a word in his message over and over again. It was a red hot message, and kept using a word in his message over and over again. Finally, I never will forget, we had a maintenance man that was at our church, and he had these two small boys. And preaching this red hot message that night, he kept saying there's a wrong use of this particular word. And he preached and preached and preached. And these two young boys went home. And one got mad at the other in the kitchen and used that word and should not have. Now you listen to me. And all of a sudden that little boy was confronted by his daddy and said, why did you say that to your brother? Said, well, the preacher said it. You know, you have to be careful about your tongue. You really do. You have to be careful about the tongue, because that tongue can direct other people's lives. A little flame sometime will heat up a conversation. A heated up conversation will sometimes turn into an uncontrollable fire. An evil tongue can spread poison. An evil tongue spreading poison could destroy somebody's life forever. We understand that we're in chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. We see that the Bible speaks here about fountains, that fresh water and salt water cannot come from the same fountain. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 4, we see that a tongue cannot speak blessing and cursing coming from the same tongue at the same time. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2, we see that a tree cannot bear two different types of fruit, one good and one bad. The Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 18 verses 20 through 21 that those two different kinds of fruit cannot be born of the same tree. So let me give you, from the book of James tonight, let's look at it together. Let me give you the wrong use of the tongue. The wrong use of the tongue. Let's do a Bible study. You want to? Here we go. James chapter 1, look at verse 13. The Bible says that no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. James chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, for God cannot be tempted, it says, with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man when he is tempted, the Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. All right? So here's what we understand about the tongue tonight. We are not supposed to blame God when we are tempted to do wrong. God does not tempt man to do wrong. Well, it's God's fault because God did not show me it was wrong. God gave you a Bible. All right? And so you cannot blame God and say that God is the one that tempted us to do wrong. Look at verse 26, James chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, watch what it says. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, the Bible says, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So here's a person that's not able to bridle their tongue. You know what happens? The Bible says that as we judge his religion, it's not worth having. It's not worth having. His religion is vain. All right? Now that's speaking of that which is a hypocritical person. All right? Then you see, look at it in verse 2, chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look at verse 2. And look at verses 2 through 4. The Bible says, and if there come, it says, unto your assembly, a man, it says, has a gold ring there. It says, with a gold ring and goodly apparel. And there come unto you a poor man in vile raiment. Now, here's what he says. And you have respect unto that one in gay clothing. Now, by the way, gay in the Bible does not mean homosexual. Used to be a good name. Gay used to be a name that we used for joy and happiness and wonderful things. Had nothing to do with the sin of homosexuality. The Bible says, ye have respect unto him that weareth, it says, the gay clothing. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And you say unto the poor, sit thou here, it says, under my footstool. Now watch what he says. He says, are you not partial in yourselves? In other words, are you not somebody that's saying, I tell you what, I choose this one over this one? Now, God says this. God says we're not supposed to express that which is a discrimination between that which is the rich and that which is the poor. He says you've become judges of evil thoughts. Now, wait a minute. How are they doing that? They're doing that by saying, you sit here. They're speaking. And you sit. Hey, I thank God that Parkside Baptist Church loves everybody. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. Doesn't matter what type of house you live in. Listen to me now tonight. So the tongue. The tongue is also used to express that which is an unfeeling need, if you will. Notice what I mean by that. Look at James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, and if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and there be one that say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, it says, ye give them not the things that are needed, it says, to the body. It says, oh, what doth it profit? So here's a person that's using the tongue in an unfeeling type of way, an unseemly type of way, and they're not meeting the needs. They're saying, they're cutting down someone. Say, look, I don't care about you. And by the way, we ought to care about each other. We ought to have a burden for each other. Somebody, if you would please, using an old terminology, gets down in their luck. You ought to care about them. You ought to reach out and try and help them. And you ought to be somebody that when somebody's hungry, you feed them. And somebody's thirsty, you give them a drink. And you try and help them to what they're supposed to be. Wait a minute. The tongue will boast and flatter. Boast and flatter. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, even so the tongue is a little member that boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter, it says, a little fire kindleth. And so here's just a little fire. Well, you know what they're doing? They're boasting great things. Now, these are ways not to use the tongue. Wrong uses of the tongue. Here's what we see, that it will boast and flatter great things. The tongue will speak evil of another. This is a wrong way to use it. By the way, you listen to me. I've said this before and I say it again. If somebody for some reason gets a burr in their saddle and they talk bad about our church or they talk bad about our college, you let it be. But don't you talk bad about their church and don't you talk bad about their college. You be a good Christian. I'm saying this tonight. You understand this, that you let the immature saints talk bad about other people. But you don't lower yourself to be an immature saint that talks bad about somebody else. By the way, you be like Nehemiah. You stay on the wall. You stay on the wall. You don't come down and talk to the Sanballats, and you don't come down and talk to Tobias. You just decide to stay on the wall. You love Jesus Christ. You go forward. You help people. Somebody talks bad about your bus route. You don't need to talk bad about their bus route. Somebody talks bad about your Sunday school teaching. You don't need to talk bad about their Sunday school teaching. Somebody talks bad about the way that you sow win. You don't need to talk bad about the way they sow win. Somebody talks bad about the way you lead music. You don't need to talk bad about the way they lead music. Somebody talks bad about the way you eat. You don't need to talk bad about the way they eat. Somebody talks bad about the way you do your hair. You don't need to talk bad about the way they do their hair. Some people wish they had hair. I'm saying tonight, what are you doing, rubbing your head? So he was going to rub your head. You get picked on a lot, don't you? I feel sorry for you. Evil speaking. Look at it in James chapter 4 and verse 12. James chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says there is one lawgiver. It says, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest? Another. There's one. Wait a minute. Look at James chapter 5. Look at verse 9. James 5, 9. The Bible says, grudge not one another. Listen to what it says. It says, grudge not one against another. It says, brethren, it says, lest ye be condemned. You know, when a person, watch, I've said this before, and here's your scripture. If a person is talking bad about somebody else in your presence, stay with me. If a person is talking bad, stay with me, look at me here. If a person's talking bad about somebody else in your presence, I can almost assuredly promise you that when you walk away, they will be talking bad about you to somebody else. Because a critic is always a critic. A self-proclaimed critic is somebody that always wants to make themselves feel good, so they're always picking themselves up among other people around them. Now, I promise you before the Lord that 9 times out of 10, if a critic is talking bad about you, or excuse me, talking bad about somebody else in your presence, well, you know, if I was so-and-so, I wouldn't do that. Well, you know, I tell you what, they're doing something wrong. Yeah, okay, now let me tell you what they're doing when you walk away. Well, let me tell you, you know, I just talked to so-and-so. Let me tell you what I think about them. You see, a critic, somebody's a critic, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. So don't be fooled. When somebody is tearing down, that's how come I tell our young people, don't tear down somebody else's college. Now, praise God, somebody's doing something. There's enough fighting and fussing out there with you trying to fight and fuss over somebody else. Let it go. You say, well, so-and-so said something bad about me. Who cares? Amen. Look, if you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell. Amen. Anything above you dying and burning in hell is a blessing. Amen. Let it go. By the way, this helped you in your marriage. All of a sudden, you come home one day, and your wife is in one of those critical stupor moods. I didn't say stupid moods, I said stupor moods. Closely associated, however. But you come home one day and your wife is in one of those moods where you can't do nothing right. Now don't raise your hand to testify. But you can't do nothing right. If you pick it up, you're going to pick it up wrong. If you lay it down, you're going to lay it down wrong. If you move it, you're going to move it wrong. If you breathe, you're going to breathe wrong. Now, what do you do with something like that? Smile. But don't say nothing. Let her get her peace out. Wait a minute. Let's stop picking on the women. What if one day you've cleaned your house? I mean, I'm talking about it's as immaculate as a dear lady could clean. And he walks in one day, and he doesn't notice nothing. And he says, what in the world have you been doing all day long? I've been working. I've been providing the money. And all you have, what have you done? Do not hit him upside the head with a frying pan. Realize he's had a hard day. But come on now. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, okay? Now, wait a minute. That's what I'm saying. Give each other a little bit of grace. Now be careful. Your wife walks into a room and she says, honey, do you notice anything different about me? Be careful. It's a trap. No, not really. She's really wanting you to notice. Now be careful. Don't jump too quick. Look her over from head to toe. Look at every minute thing that you can find. It might be that she has frosted the hair. Might be that she has a different help me. Might be that she has a different scarf. Might be a different necklace. Might be that she has different earrings. Hey, I'm on a roll. Might be that her fingernails are, she's nailed them differently. She has painted them. Let's go back to hunting and fishing, amen. She's colored them differently. You know, it might be that maybe she's got a different shade of lipstick or blush or, right? Okay. Now, notice it. You know, wives like to be noticed. It's safe. How many have noticed that wives like to be noticed? Well, Costa, you're not raising your hand. You're not right. Now watch this, Sibua. Here's what we see. But we understand this, that here's a person that is evil speaking. Don't speak evil. I want to help you out a little bit. What you think might not be evil, who you're saying it to might think it's evil. It would be better to live above reproach than below. It would be better to go the extra mile. You know, we have young people sitting in this room that they don't curse, but they say derivatives. So what in the world is that? Ask your parent. They'll say off-color words that are closely associated or a descriptive of a curse word. Now, can I tell you that's not right? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that you have to be careful about evil speaking. Statement number next, I'm almost done. They swear or they blaspheme. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, we're in James 5, and look at verse 12. The Bible says, but above all things, it says, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. It says, and let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Amen. So he says, not to swear. Okay, now that's the wrong ways to use the tongue. Let me just give you three right ways tonight, and we'll go home. Four right ways tonight, we'll go home. And that is this, right ways to use the tongue. Now, by the way, if there's a wrong way, there's a right way. Amen. I'm not against guns. I'm against the wrong use of guns. I'm not against technology being used in a church. I'm against the wrong way to use technology in a church. Are you listening to me? You can take anything that is neutral and use it the wrong way, and it becomes wrong. Hello? We have churches today that have changed their style of services to the point and to the place that when you walk into those churches, it almost seems like you're walking into a nightclub. That's gone too far. Hello? You have churches that get up and they have young people up there, and they're doing the praise and worship, and they're swinging, and they're hello? That's gone too far. It's gone too far. You have churches, if you will, that they have. There was an advertisement I received from a church in the area, and it said, no Sunday service, sleep in. Saturday service. I looked at my staff and I said, I can't believe this. Let's go. But it was, you know, I guess because of the Super Bowl. Is that what somebody told me here? Super Bowl? Is that what it was, Brother Crutcher? Super Bowl. But what they were doing is they were saying, you stay home and you, no. Amen. You're not supposed to do that. I know guys, are you listening to me? Super Bowl Sunday, they put a television up underneath here. And they'll watch it till time to go to prayer. Wrong! Hello? Hey, what's wrong with just being right? What's wrong with using the tongue and going the right direction? God still blesses truth, and God can still use truth, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm saying this, listen. So use your tongue the right way. Okay, here we go. Here's what we see. James chapter 3 and verse 9, point number 1. Praise God with your tongue. Praise God with your tongue. Hello. I'll be walking down the hallway. I love singing about grace. Most of the time you hear me walking down the hallway, I'm singing about grace. No, it's not an aunt or a cousin named Grace. I'm talking about the grace of God. And so I'm singing about grace. James chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, it says, listen to it now, it says, wherewith bless we God, even, it says, the Father. It says, wherewith curse we men, it says, which made, it says, after the similitude of God. Now, wait a minute. So what is he talking about? He's talking about blessing God with our voices, with our tongue. Blessing God with our tongue. You know, what's wrong with going, hey, we live in a very defiled world. What's wrong with going into a supermarket and all of a sudden praising God for something? Amen. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with going in and telling somebody at the cash register, boy, I praise God for that price. That's a good price. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Let that become your vocabulary. You know, praise the Lord for that. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, God is good. They need to hear more about the Lord in your everyday speech. Amen. Let it be coming of you. Your everyday speech. You know, you young people go to the public school. Let them hear words like that. Say it all the time. Say it all the time. Say it all the time. And walking down the hallway and say, you know, you get a good grade on your paper and say, hey, praise God. Look what I got. Isn't this wonderful? God is sure good. Learn to praise God. Bring God in your vocabulary. It'll place a thirst in somebody's mouth. All right? Those of you that go to secular universities, put God in there. Put God in there. Well, praise God for this and praise God for that. And boy, God is good. And let me tell you how God answered prayer this week. And wow, boy, let me tell you, God has been so good to me this week. And I've got this blessing and this blessing. And boy, I tell you, I've got a wonderful God. Praise Him. It's not talking about just praising Him in church, where you stand up and you sing a hymn or two. No, praise Him out in the public wear place. Praise Him up and down the alleys. You know, walk into, if you will, please, the post office and sing praises unto God as you're walking by yourself. It's okay. You don't have to be in church. You can do it out there. I promise you, it'll work. I'm saying this, praise God with your tongue. Then we see, pray to God. Pray to God with your tongue. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, it talks about praying for wisdom. So pray for wisdom. You walk into my mirror. Well, don't walk into it, you'll break it. But if you go into my bathroom, I've made a restroom with a shower, and it's in between Mrs. Wells' office and my office, and we share that there. And I have a mirror up in there. One of the words I have that's on my mirror is wisdom, wisdom. So every time that I walk in there, I remember to pray for wisdom. Okay, so pray and ask God for wisdom. Here's what we see. You pray and you ask God to help you when you're afflicted. Help you when you're afflicted. I remember one time I got a little low. Some of the staff know about it. I got a little low. And so I went back there behind the buses. And every day I walked that backfield. I just walked that backfield and I prayed. Didn't say nothing to no one. I just wanted to pray. And so I just walked on that backfield and I just prayed. Now, can I tell you this? Look, here's what you need to understand. When you're afflicted, you go to God and ask Him. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. When you need healing, you go to God. When you need healing, I still believe this with all my heart. Brother Bryant had cancer. And Brother Johnny Bryant had cancer. And Brother Bryant came to me and said, Preacher, will you anoint me with oil? And we met back there in the Sweetheart Couples class. You deacons remember this. And we anointed Brother Bryant with oil. And I believe God extended his days. And by the way, he did too. God extended his days. You know why? Praying. Praying. You know, God, can I tell you for sure, old Hezekiah went to the Lord and he said, Lord, he said, extend my days. And by the way, the Bible says that it's appointed unto you once to die, and after that the judgment. You have an appointed time. Amen. You can take all the vitamins you want to. You have an appointed time. Amen. You can exercise all you want to. God's in control. Yeah. You have an appointed time. Now, I believe that you can expand your healthiness. Hello? I know guys that were vegetarians. Brother Roloff, vegetarian, died in an airplane wreck. I mean, come on. God's in control. Now, I think you ought to eat healthy. I think you ought to be able to do more healthy stuff. I got myself out of that one, didn't I? But, all right, you pray, ask God for healing. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. You pray, ask God for big things, not small things, big things. God, do something big. God, I'm asking for this. God, nobody else can do this but you. And God, if you don't come through, I'm through. Amen. Ask God for big things. James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Then ask God to restore the backslider. Ask God to restore the backslider. Somebody that's a backslider. James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. The backslider. Ask God to restore them out of church, out of the will of God. Backslidden. Don't read their Bible. Don't pray. Don't tithe. Backslidden. That's a backslider. You ask God to get a hold of their heart and shake them. All right? So, number one, you praise God with your lips. Number two, you pray for God with your lips. Number three, you sing to the Lord. James chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says that we're supposed to sing. Listen to it. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Listen to what? Is any merry? Listen to what it says here. It says, let him sing psalms. Let him sing. Let him. Can I tell you, music has a great, important area in your life. Amen. You know, you sing the right music. When Saul would get depressed, Saul would call David in to do what? Play the harp. Changed his spirit. Changed his spirit. David was a great musician. I can't tell you. Read the Psalms. Tell me how many times out of those Psalms he is more lifting up than being down. People that have the right type and a lot of the right type of music in their life and they listen to it on a regular basis have a better spirit. They have a better spirit. People that listen to the wrong type of music, it's a downing effect. It pulls you down. Your spirit changes. I see kids that listen to rock music, and you see many times the rebellion begins to grow. Or these kids, and you be careful about it now, these kids that have these gaming devices and there's rock music playing in the background, watch their attitudes, how their attitudes have changed. It changes them. You know why? Because music will do that. But you listen to the right type of music and it has an opposite effect. You become joyful, you become happy. I know some people that have gone through different things, and sometimes I have given them CDs to listen to or something like that. You know why? Because it does have an effect on you. It does. It changes your thinking. Okay, then statement number next, and I'm done. A witness for Christ. Use your tongue to give the gospel. You won't find that in the book of James, but you will in Psalm 107 and verse 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and many of the verses you know. Of course, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and so on. Now wait a minute. And so we witness with our tongue. We witness. We talk to people with our tongue. We are kind, and we spend time with people to share with them the gospel with our tongue. Carolina, that's here tonight, very sweet lady. Hope you get to know her. And brother, who's with me? Brother Kenneth, I think, right? Kenneth. Brother Kenneth was with me, and we went out soul winning. And we knocked on her door, and she just moved to the area. Her granddaughter is a real estate rep, and so she's living with her granddaughter right now. And boy, we knocked on her door, very sweet lady, just moved here from Florida. And boy, knocked on her door, and we were able to spend time with her and be able to take the good word of God and show her need of receiving Christ. Very sweet, very sweet. Bowed her head, sitting there on that couchy type of chair, and us sitting in these, and just showing her how to be saved. And she bowed her heart, received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, can I tell you, I left there feeling pretty good. I left there feeling pretty good. Brother Salazar and his precious family went down to Mexico and led a couple hundred people to Christ. You know what? He came back feeling pretty good. We go over to the Philippines, and sometimes we will hear, we have 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 saved, and we come back, and we feel pretty good. We feel pretty good. We go out soul winning, and we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and can I tell you, there's nothing that beats that. You get feeling pretty good. You had an opportunity in helping somebody to see their need of an eternal Savior that would take them to an eternal heaven. And you are just a tool, and you feel pretty good about it. So use your tongue for that too, telling people about Christ. You know, you don't have to be an excellent talker just to give somebody a gospel tract and say, "Hey, look, I'll read this." In your spare time, just go ahead and read it. Change your life forever. Just read it. You don't have to sit there and talk to them. You don't have to say nothing else. Read it. Change your life forever. That's what it'll do. Change your life forever. Read it. And if you don't have time, and you just give them a gospel tract and walk away. You'd be amazed at how many times somebody will pick that little gospel tract up and they'll read it and bow their heart and receive Jesus as Savior. Now, I'm saying tonight, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to use the tongue. Make sure we use the tongue the right way. The right way. There's a right way. There's a right way. Mom and Daddy tell you to go make your bed. Don't throw a fit. Just say, "Yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to." Want me to make yours too? I'll be glad to do that. You know, can I help out with that? Mom and Daddy say, "Hey, I want you to cook this supper, to help me cook this supper." Mom, I don't want you to have to cook supper. Let me do it all. Let me do it all. Daddy says, "Hey, I want you to help me mow the lawn." "Oh, Dad, come on. You're old." And he goes, "Kapoo." "No, Daddy, that's not what I meant." "But let me mow it for you." I believe this all in my heart. No parent ought to have to clean their own car. Not if you got kids that are living and breathing. They ought to be the one to clean your car out. You got kids living at home. You ought not have to, as a man, shine your own shoes. You ought to be looking at Daddy's shoes. Shine his shoes. Love him. You might not have them long. Love him. Don't let the dishes pile up in the kitchen. Mama should never have to tell you, oh, take out the trash. I've told you 3 days in a row. Now you can't even find the can. I'm saying this. Use your tongue. Use your tongue. Use your tongue to be a blessing to someone. Use your tongue to help someone. Use your tongue, if you will, to encourage someone. You know, everybody from time to time has a bad day. Will you be the one that brings some a little spark in their life? Amen. Love them a little bit, encourage them a little bit. You'd be amazed how far that would go.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.